Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. We welcome you to this program. It is with Mufti Farhan Karani. The date today is the 15th of Rajab, 1446, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 15th of January, 2025. Let's welcome Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Saab, all well on your side? Alhamdulillah, it was a long time. Hope Mufti Saab had a good break or travel. I'm not sure where Mufti Saab went, but perhaps Mufti Saab can share with us. Alhamdulillah. Mufti Saab, so today, inshallah, we'll discuss all that many people have come back from different journeys, etc., and to recap, or to rather recheck ourselves, that what we did was correct, what we did was wrong, and to put ourselves back onto the pathway where we're supposed to be. Because many people, as Mufti Saab mentioned before, that focusing on these, when we have these breaks, to still become the friend of Allah and to still remain as the friend of Allah. So coming back now from these journeys, from wherever we went to, many people have went, and youth still, okay, today's school opening, but others who are going still to university and feel that we are doing what's correct, and we are what we've come back from all the evil that we've engaged in. So if Mufti Saab can just touch on this before we go to other topics, inshallah.
سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم، وواضع العلم عند غير أهله كمقلد الخنازير الجوهر واللؤلؤ والذهب. Because you talk about the holidays, coming back from the holidays. Like mentioned before, for Mu'min, there's no holiday. Now we go on these breaks just to come out of our daily routine. And we accustomed to this routine. We can't this time going do this, do that. Now we like robots. We work like robots throughout the year. So for the dunya, we work like robots. But for the akhirah, we don't work like robots. We don't have a'mal that I have to read my one para this time. I have to make my zikrullah this time. I have to, then I will start my work, and then I will do this iftar afterwards. We don't have a routine like that. But for the dunya, we have a routine. So while we're on a break, we say take a break, then we think, oh, everything is going to be fine. But we find that we are away from home. So we tend to relax our guard when it comes to Sharia. When it comes to Sharia, we relax our guard, and we don't adhere to the sunnah libas, sunnah dressing. And we, Mawlana's also, I've seen Ahadim, they even lose their topi in a kurta already. They lose their kurta in a topi also already. Now we ask ourselves, if we read this hadith now, if to seek knowledge is farad. It's an obligatory duty upon every Muslim. And to give knowledge, to impart knowledge to those who do not deserve it, is like, now who doesn't deserve it? That person who has evil intentions, his intention to learn knowledge, Islamic knowledge, is not to practice upon it and to make Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi anil Munkar. His intention is to make money with it, or to earn a title for himself, or earn followers for himself, then that is acquiring knowledge for purposes other than Allah. So that person who is acquiring knowledge, and that institution who gives knowledge to such a person, is like garlanding a coin, right? Putting gold necklaces and put uh, bouquets of flowers around the garlands of flowers around the fine big neck, and expensive diamonds and rubies and pearls and gold and silver. You are gardening a vine. And so we have to remind ourselves, we have to think, okay, you know what, maybe nobody knows me around here, and so I'm going to be dressing like this here. But Allah Ta'ala knows where you are, Allah Ta'ala knows who you are, and Wallahu ya'lamu mutaqallabakum wa maswaakum. Allah Ta'ala knows your movements, Allah Ta'ala knows your place of residence, where you love, everything. Allah Ta'ala knows your address. So we have to be afraid. We have to be afraid of the banishment of Allah. So, greeting the awareness day, the first day of school, everybody's excited, taking a child, grade one, starting grade one, grade R, whatever. But what are they going to do? Why are they sending their children to these institutions of kufr? And in grade one, your child is going to be taught that he can be either a she or a he or something else. That is the new, the bill has been passed. Yes, these things are now going to become obligatory in schools to be taught that you can either be a he, she, or it, whatever you choose to be. And you cannot talk bad against, you cannot talk out against LGBTQ, and you can't. You have the right to do this, you have the right to do that. Parents have no right over you, over their own children. And so these are the things that we should think about when we're sending our child to school. We are paying so much of money sending our child to a private school so that a child goes, you take your child for Umrah, and the child says, that I don't want to wear ihram, I'm not wearing ihram, na'udhillah, because I'm not a Muslim, I just want to see Makkah Mukarramah. That's the reality. That is what is happening. Because we don't place importance on a madrasa, so the child says, no, I don't have time for madrasa class. I got so much of homework, and then I got the cricket after school, and then I have this hockey, and I got so much work, I won't manage. Can you find a madrasa where they have like maybe once a week or twice a week? But I promise every day I'll read my Quran at home. I'll read my Quran at home. The parents deep into this, and they say, no, my child went already. They run grade 5, grade 6. Yeah, they know about of Islam, and yet they know how to read Salah, and I think it's sufficient. So their mother and father will make a decision and say, no, it's okay. We'll find somewhere we can send you once or twice a week to madrasa. Okay. So we're giving importance to that education system which takes out the iman from our children's heart. It's out. That's their mandate. That's their vision that we don't want Muslims, because Islam is a threat to the to the world. And Islam is a threat to the world. They don't want Islam. But they don't want your child to be a Muslim. They want your child to be a Christian, a Jew, or whatever, a Hindu, but not a Muslim. So we are. Why do schools start on a Wednesday? They take this year from Islam. And remember, our ustad is tell us, although we maybe start madrasa, go to madrasa on a Sunday. The madrasa will start. Everybody must be in on Sunday. But the ustad will only teach you the kitab, the ustad, yasir wala tu'asir, on Wednesday. On a Wednesday only. Why? Because ilm was created on a Wednesday. And these kuffar take it from us, and they also start school on a Wednesday. Now you see, I was driving now. Why is so much traffic here? Oh, school started now. So all the parents bring their children to school and they put them in a class. They start in grade one. You know, it's a big thing. The news channels are there and everybody's crying and they're happy. And I don't know what the emotions are. They're happy for starting school. Where are our emotions that our child is starting madrasa? My child is going to start early basa today. Are we excited as we are when we take our child to school? Yes, we should be even more excited. You know, Isa alayhi salam was once passing by a qabr, and the person in the qabr was being punished. So he carried on his journey, And when he was coming back, he passed by this Qabristan again, he passed by this Qabr, and he said, Allah Ta'ala, rahmat in this Qabr. So he asked Allah, ya Allah, this person has been punished, and now he is, your rahmat is in his Qabr. Why is this? How is this? So, Allah Ta'ala informed Isa alayhi salam that this person in his Qabr, he had a baby boy. He was still an infant, and I took the father's life. So this infant grew up, and today was the first day that this child attended madrasa. And the ustad taught the child Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So the child read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So I forgave the father. How can I punish the father when the child, this child is reading this, taking my name. How can I punish the father? That is the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. And so when we sending our child to madrasa, we are having mercy on ourselves. And we are showering Allah Ta'ala's mercy on ourselves. But we choose to listen to our children that they don't want to go to madrasa, so it's fine. It's okay. But you stay at home, no problem. We'll get somebody to teach you once a week. Fine. So we are destroying our own selves and destroying our children's lives. Nowadays, children, the youngsters, they don't know about Islam. One parent, he asked me, you know, I'm so cross, man. You know, went to a janazah and my teenage son, he doesn't know the du'as of janazah salah. He was so cross. What are you teaching him in the madrasa? Like, why doesn't he know this here? I don't know. You must ask the madrasa why he doesn't know the du'as for janazah salah. And he's almost in matric in grade 11, grade 12. He's supposed to know these things. And so we send our children to school, to madrasa. We don't worry whether the child learns there or he don't learn anything, but just you've gone to madrasa. You know what happens in the madrasas, where the children are waiting in the toilets, and they and in schools it's even worse. If they're doing this in madrasa, Allah forbid, what are they doing in the school, where there's all intermingling and everything. So our children have to go through madrasa, and not for a few years, not only till grade 5, not only till grade 7. They must continue madrasa until they are finished school. Why? Because the onslaught is there from grade 1 till grade 12. The onslaught against Islam and against your child's deen is there. And then we send our children to Christian schools where they are forced, and it is not an option. You have to go to chapel every week. Once a week, they have to go to chapel. You have to go in Sunday. And you have to listen to what that priest, whatever nonsense he's doing out from there, you have to listen to him. And then you have to walk around there, around the benches there, and then you spray that napak water on you, and you must eat the bread, and then you must do all the kufriyat. You must do all the kufriyat, and you're paying the school. That, you know, you must, what you're paying for actually is, take my child away from Islam, but after school I'll send him a letter to madrasa. Do you think that is enough? Do you think that is enough to take to make our child aware that what he is doing is wrong? The child is supposed to know that who Allah Ta'ala is and what makes Allah Ta'ala happy and what makes Allah Ta'ala angry. That is what our children are supposed to know. If we achieve that, and if our children achieve that, that who my Allah is and what does my Allah want, and what makes my Allah angry? That was one of our Akabirin. They, Imam Ghazali, I think we mentioned the story before, we mentioned again, that he was studying in a madrasa as a young boy, and that one day the king came to visit the madrasa. He came dressed as a beggar, and disguised as a beggar, and he came to the madrasa, and he came to students asking him, what you doing here, what you studying, why are you studying? So all these different reasons. All dunyavi reasons. My father is a qari, so I want to become a qari. My father is a mufti, so I want to be a mufti. Oh, I want to teach because of this and that. And upset at him because he was sponsoring an entire madrasa, all the salaries and the whole all the food, everything, all the expenses was on his shoulders. So he went, he talked with the sponsor and he said, you know, I'm closing the madrasa down. Send them all home. They must go do whatever they want. So he said, okay, you know, let me just go see that one child in the corner sitting there alone. He asked him, what are you doing here? Why are you in the madrasa? He said, hey, I learned that there is a creator and he is Allah. So I said, okay, I have a creator. My creator is Allah. Now, what does my creator want from me? I'm his slave. I learned that I'm his slave. So what does the slave, what does the master want of his slave? So I'm learning that how to become a proper slave of Allah. This is why I'm here. So the king was so happy. And he went away, and the next day he came dressed as the king and came with all his whole entourage and soldiers and guards and everybody. And he came and gave a talk at the madrasa, and thousands of students there in the madrasa. And he said, you know what, I was going to close the madrasa down because everybody is here for other reasons besides Allah, besides pleasing Allah Ta'ala. So, but this one student gave me the correct answer. And because of him, I was under the entire madrasa. So our intentions must be correct. Our intentions must be correct. If our intentions are correct, if our before intention is the belief, before intention comes the belief. It is why it's so important to learn madrasa, to send our children to maktab. Because you're learning everything there. You're learning Quran, how to read Quran. Now you find parents, they old already now, they don't know how to read Quran, right? Because they didn't pay attention in madrasa. And surahs, you're learning surahs because you need to read salah. How are you going to read salah without reading surahs? You need to read du'as. You need to know what du'a is, what's a du'a before eating, before going to toilet, when fighting a newborn, and eating by somebody's house, and janazah du'as. You need to know the du'as. And then you got fiqh. And how you read salah, what time you must read salah, when you must give zakat, if you must give zakat, how you must give zakat, to who you must give zakat, how you must perform hajj, how you must fast, when you must fast, when you can't fast, everything is there in fiqh, right? Then you got aqaid, the main subject is aqaid, because in aqaid, you taught about belief, aqaid means belief, so you are learning how to be a Muslim, the foundation of Islam. The foundation of Islam is your belief. So you have to know what, how you must believe and what you must believe in. Your belief puts you in a certain category. If you believe in a certain way, according to maybe a belief of a certain cult, then you belong to that cult. If you believe in a certain way, then you belong to this club or this religion or whatever. But Islam has its own belief system. So we have to have our beliefs in order. That Allah Ta'ala wants me to believe like this. So that is why we start with, in dua, we start with kalima. We start with kalima tayyiba. Right? Then you start with kalima shahada. Then you start with kalima tawheed, and kalima tamjeed, and kalima radd al-kufr, and iman al-mujmal, iman al-mufassal. Iman al-mufassal. Right? Now there, all your seven beliefs are contained in there. And so the child will learn. آمنتُ بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى والبعث بعد الموت. He's learning all the seven beliefs, the most important beliefs as a Muslim. He's learning. Ustad will teach it to him and explain to him, this is what you believe, this is what you don't believe in, this is, if you believe like this then you're not a Muslim, if you believe like this then your iman is okay, it's correct. So we have to correct our beliefs. We have to know what to believe to be in this, in the branch of Islam. But it is why it's so important to learn aqaid. So once our beliefs are correct, then our intentions will be correct. Because we will learn that, okay, if I do this action, if I worship Allah only and solely for Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will reward me. And if I worship, if I do this act of worship, if I read Salah, if I read Zikrullah, to show off or to please somebody other than Allah, then that is shirk. And I am not pleasing Allah, so I am not going to get reward for it. But innama al-amalu binniyat, so I'm not going to get reward for it. So that is why it's so important to correct our belief. Then In school, they're going to teach you about Darwin's theory, and they're going to teach you about Big Bangs, and they're going to teach you that you can be a Saturday, I was filling in a form, and they got in gender, male, female, or other. I'm looking at other. Now they're even enforcing it even more, even on an internet form also, they put in male, female, or other. So we have to know how you must believe and what you must believe in. So that is why it's so important to learn about Aqaid. Then we have to combat the belief that they are shoving down the throat of our children in school. So when they come out of school, they must know and they must be taught that what you learn there in school, is what they're teaching you there, is not the correct thing. This is how we believe as Muslims. Then the children will ask questions. They'll ask questions that we learned this here today. The teacher was saying this here. Then you explain, no, this is not right. You shouldn't believe in this here. You should argue with the teacher. Giving this point here. Argue with this point here. Giving this point here. And so we must be able to defend Islam. So if the child doesn't go to his madrasa, and you're taking him out, now when does this happen? This happens now in high school. Because now they take the curriculum more seriously, and they want to know, whatever Islam you have in you must be finished now. That is why they don't even let you go for Jumah Salah. And because now they want to eradicate Islam from you totally. So we send our children to these kind of schools where they don't even allow you to go for Jumah Salah. And then we say, no, our child is a Muslim and we are Muslim and we read Salah. But the child doesn't read Jumah Salah. The whole year he doesn't read Jumah Salah. Only time he reads Jumah Salah is when he comes for holidays. Then you're going to taking for Jumah Salah. Because then he's not even interested in Jumah Salah because he's talking with his friends there at back, and then he'll just run when the Imam starts his namaz, not even when the khutbah starts. So this is the reality. Then then we got, after Aqaid, we got akhlaq and adab, how to behave as a Muslim, how to conduct ourselves as Muslims. Then we got history, Islamic history. What must we learn about Yansan Ribak and when he came here and who was here before the dust and the British, and what's so important about that? Learn about who the Sahaba are, who are the Anbiya, when were the Anbiya born, which year they were born, and which Nabi came first and which Nabi came last, and who was Yunus alayhi salam, and the lessons from history, Islamic history, who the Sahaba were, who's Khalid bin Walid, who's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what Nabi Qasim's life. We will learn about these kafir people's lives and when they were born and when they died. What difference does it make? Does it, is that going to help you in the akhirah? Learn about Islamic history. And then we learn about ahadith. Because the things of Nabi Qasim, the sunnah life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is what we have to learn. How to behave as Muslims, how to act as Muslims. And what did my Nabi say? How must I eat? How must I talk? How must I sleep? That is what we're supposed to learn. Now, if we don't learn these things about Islam and we don't send our children to madrasa and maktab, we don't find it important, then we mustn't cry. Later on, you mustn't cry and come to the Monana, you know, Monana, speak to my son, man. You know, my son is not listening to me. You know, he doesn't want to come for Salah. And he's speaking all these funny things, and he doesn't, if you say, why must I read Salah? Why must I fast? I don't want to fast. You know, I'm talking to him. You know, I gave him a beating also. He doesn't want to listen. And now he wants to take him to the police. And, right? You dug your own grave. You dug your own grave. You are responsible for your child behaving in this way. And your child believing in this way, you are responsible for it. Because you gave him that knowledge. And you wanted him to have a BA degree and to become a doctor and a lawyer and whatever. In dunyavi terms, you wanted the best for him, but it wasn't the best for him, it was the worst for him in the akhirah. And so, why didn't you give him sufficient dini knowledge? When he said he wants to go for his soccer message, why didn't you say, no, madrasa is important, more important? Why didn't you cancel everything? You know, I'm the father in the house here, you want to live under my roof here, this is my laws, this is my rule, this is Allah Ta'ala's rules and Allah Ta'ala's laws. You have to wake up for Fajr, you cannot come for what means for Fajr Salah, pull him out of the bed and take him for Fajr Salah, and make sure that he goes to madrasa and pay importance to his madrasa work. Ask him, why did you get so low results in this subject here? Why are you not paying attention? Why did the Molana complain to me? We don't care about it. We just don't care about it. But when it comes to school, we are very worried. The teacher just gives one complaint, and then we shout the child, and we threaten the child, and take away this thing and that thing from the child. And, but in, for madrasa things, no, we don't do anything like that. Because it's a bile away. You know, the school, you know, he doesn't do well in school, then you're going to accept him in university. Then he can't have a, he can't become the doctor, and he can't become the engineer. But if he doesn't behave as a Muslim, if he doesn't have Islam after his thing, but as long as he has his degree, then he's fine. Then we are going to be responsible on the day of Qiyamah, because that child is going to drag us to Jahannam. And my father, my mother didn't teach me, my parents didn't tell me and explain to me the importance of going to madrasa. They're going to blame the parents. They're going to blame the parents and take their parents to Jahannam with them. So do we want that for ourselves and for our children? This is why we have to give importance to our madrasa. And you know, we complain the madrasa books are so expensive. It does, you know, you can buy a whole set of madrasa kitabs for the year for under 300 rand. Under 300 rand, you'll buy the whole syllabus. In school, you pay thousands of rand. University, you pay tens of thousands of rand for those books. And for something for the akhirah, you're paying 300 rand. And for the dunya, you pay much more, and you complain, you know, the madrasa fees, man. You pay 500 rand a month. Hey, man, he's mad. He just wants to go on holiday. He wants to buy a new car. He wants to buy a new house. What he thinks? He's going to get rich overnight. The school will charge you 10,000 rand a month. And that's even seen us. You consider other schools there, they're charging like 250,000 a year. But we don't complain about it. So we must give importance to our Islamic education. What does Allah Ta'ala want of me? What does how must I behave as a Muslim? And we have to inculcate this here. We have to show importance to Islamic studies as well. So this is what's going to help us in the akhirah and in our qabr. So these are the few words. Inshallah, give us hidayat and keep us on iman.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sabji. Last week, I was purchasing something at a stationery store. So as I was paying for the item, I just heard one amount, like 6,000 rand after all the items were scanned and that. So I heard 6,000 rand, and I looked up and I looked at the person and I said, shame. And this one of our local people just purchasing stationery, books, bags, all of this here, 6,000 rand. And as Mufti Saab said, when it comes to our madrasa kitabs, just to purchase those few kitabs, we feel it's such a big, but how many thousands we're spending in the year for that, as Mufti Saab explained, that it's so much that is going into what? That is teaching our children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not important. So our priorities is important. Appreciate the message, Mufti Saab. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.